What's up, y'all? It's JLP, the host of Mastering Singlehood and Relationships Podcast, coming to you with this brand new episode. Hope by the grace of God, you and your loved ones are doing well. And on tonight's episode, we're going to be continuing just talking about ascending to the mountain of the Lord. So May's theme is for us to put ourselves in a position where we do just that. And so last week, we focused on verse 1. Now this week, I'm going to be focusing on two verses, verse 2 to 3. And for the weeks to come, I'm going to be focusing on two verses. And then the last week, week 5, I'm going to go ahead and be explaining more in depth verse 8, 9, and 10. And so on tonight's episode, I just want us to go ahead and just open our Bible pages to Psalm 24. Again, we'll be looking at verse 2 to 3. And again, I just hope that you have been blessed just so far throughout the month of May, as you yourself have been making time to, you know, spend more time with the Lord, going deeper in your prayer time, going deeper in the ways, again, you are worshiping the Lord, you are praising the Lord, and as well as when you are, you know, just again, just meditating on this particular scripture, which is Psalm 24. And so Psalm 24 is where we got the theme from, ascending to the mountain of the Lord. And so I just wanted to go ahead and just share that once more, especially for those of you, perhaps you missed the recent episode. And so wherever you are, Psalm 24, verse 2 to 3, this is what it says. It says, "For he founded it upon the seas and established it on the waters. Who may ascend?" Let me pause right there. So that was verse 2. Let me just say it one more time. "For he founded it on the seas and established it on the water." What is it talking about? Well, last week's episode, verse 1 was talking about the earth. And it was explaining again how God, he is the owner of the earth, right? And so he owns the earth. He owns everything in it. But there is a distinction between one who is an owner and one who is a creator. For example, someone might have purchased an item, right? But that does not mean they created the item, right? Yes, they are the owner of the item, but that doesn't mean they manufactured the item. And so what verse 2 is doing for us is letting us know, hey, not only God is the owner of the earth and everything in it, but God also, he is the creator of the earth and everything in the earth, right? I think that is just, you know, I just am blown away by this. And what fascinates me too is how it even tells us that he founded, right? He established the earth, right? He established it on the waters. And so the water, right, is letting us know it was the, you can say, the canvas that God used, right, to make the earth and then to bring forth creation, right? When you see again the animals, the vegetation, and then lastly he created human beings from the earth, the ground of the earth. As we note, well, for some of you, especially those of you again who love just studying certain names from the Bible, you will see that the name of Adam literally means ground, or perhaps it means the color red, right? And so it's telling us that Adam came from the ground. And so this is why in scripture, especially in the Psalms, you will hear certain scriptures in the Psalm where it's saying that, you know, from dust you came and from dust you will return. And so that is something that can keep all of us humbled, right? And it shows us how fragile we are as human beings. And it shows us, too, how much we truly need the Lord. Because, again, he made us. And because he made us, he knows best, right? What's good for us, and as well as who we are in general. You could know yourself to a certain degree, but there's still a layer of who you are. You will never know unless God reveals it to you, because why? He created you. Now, another thing that I found fascinating concerning water, and I believe I've shared it perhaps once before on the podcast, or perhaps I shared it on Amuna Culture, which is our Instagram page. And if you have followed us on Amuna Culture, thank you. If not, I would greatly appreciate for you to just go ahead and connect with us over there. The thing that I found fascinating concerning water, right? Although water is mentioned in Genesis chapter 3, there's no literal account showing us how water was created, right? As a matter of fact, there's no account of there being a place, right, in that particular scripture saying, and God says water appeared and water appeared, or God declared water appeared and water appeared. It remains a mystery. And so just imagine, you know, the earth, right, without land. So literally the earth is like a ball of water. And this is the canvas that God used to make the earth, and then later all that's found in it. Isn't that fascinating? To me, I feel like that is just incredible. Now, in verse 2, this is what it says. I'm going to repeat it once more, although I'm going to repeat it because I didn't finish it. I had to stop myself because, again, I just want to make sure we take our time to really just break down this scripture, Psalm 24. And so verse 2, this is what it says. It says, who may ascend to the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? Again, I repeat, who may ascend to the mountain of the Lord? Who may ascend to his holy place? One of the things that I love about the Bible is that oftentimes when the Bible mentions a phrase, or when the Bible mentions a word, the following scripture actually gives us the answer concerning what, you know, the previous scripture was talking about. So our main focus here on verse 3 is the mountain of the Lord, right? The mountain of the Lord. What is the mountain of the Lord? Well, clearly we know it belongs to the Lord. But again, in more details, what is the mountain of the Lord? It tells us that in a latter portion of the scripture. It says it is his holy place. So the mountain of the Lord is his holy place. This mountain belongs to God. And it also lets us know that it's holy, right? So when we hear the term holy, that means it is spotless, it is blameless, it is pure in all facets. One area, or one particular part of scripture as a whole in the Bible that the mountain of the Lord is also mentioned, you can find it in Exodus chapter 19. And in Exodus chapter 19, there's literally a mountain that's called the mountain of the Lord, but its specific name is Horeb. And this is a mountain that, you know, Moses would go to as well, to be able to have fellowship with the Lord and receive messages from the Lord to give to his people. As a matter of fact, when you're reading Exodus chapter 19 more in depth, God literally called Moses and told Moses, you know, before you and the people do anything, I need you to consecrate yourself. I need you to purify yourself. And I probably went ahead of myself by even saying this, but that's okay. Because again, when you read the latter portion of verse 3, it's saying who may stand in his holy place, right? Who may stand in his holy place? Now, because of Jesus, right? Because of what Jesus did for us, we don't need a physical mountain, right? To ascend to God, to ascend to the Lord. We can ascend to his holy mountain through the Holy Spirit. And there's an account of this from Ephesians chapter 2 verse 18. And this is what it says. It says, for through him, which is Christ, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Now, mind you, in Old Testament time, there were specific people that had that access to God. Although, yes, these people believed God, they prayed to God, but they didn't have that like upper room type of level access to God. And so you would have people like Moses only and his brother Aaron that were able to go to the mountain of the Lord to be able to receive revelation, to be able to receive instructions from God, and then share it with the people. And so oftentimes the people would only experience the presence of God through his servants, right? The ones that he has chosen to hear from him and to lead his people. And often that you know, these people were the priests like Moses, like Aaron, or the prophets of that time. But praise the Lord, because of Jesus, you and I, we have complete access to the Father. And yet there is something that we need to pay attention to, because the way that it says who may ascend to the mountain of the Lord, it also is showing us there is a type of disposition. Now, it's not saying that we can ascend to the mountain of the Lord by works, right? Although this is in Psalm, and Jesus did not, you know, he did not step at the scene. But however, viewing it now, knowing that Jesus made a way for us, it shows us that, yes, although we have have access to God, but there's still a type of heart posture that we need to have. And in next week's episode, we're going to go more in depth concerning that, because the following verse is going to be explaining that in more detail, the specific group of people that could ascend to the mountain of the Lord. And so one of the things that I also want to bring to your attention, speaking on who may stand in his holy place, you will notice even when it comes to the book of Acts, I believe it is, let's see, in Acts chapter 1, verse 12 to 14, even before they attended the meeting in the upper room, they actually spent time on a mountain as well. So they actually spent time just preparing themselves, consecrating themselves as they are about to just continue with prayer and supplication as they're waiting for the Holy Spirit to come upon them. And so that gives us an idea, you know, what weight the mountain of the Lord has, and as well as, again, who can ascend to the mountain of the Lord. You know, what is our heart posture, right? How can we, in fact, position ourselves or prepare ourselves to ascend to the mountain of the Lord? And so I found that really fascinating, and I just pray that you guys know that, you know, it's never a waste, you know, really seeking God and really growing deeper in him, because, you know, again, he sees everything, you know, in the Psalms, I believe, as well. There's a particular scripture, which says that, you know, his eyes are roaming right throughout all the earth. He is looking for those who are, you know, devoting themselves to seek him, or who are willing as well to just, again, just pursue him, right? Or are willing to serve him. And he is literally looking for these individuals in order for him to give them his strength, right? Give them his grace to continue on doing the very things that they have in their heart to do for God. And so I just thank you as well for just taking the time, really, you know, to just you know, be with me on the podcast episode. And not just that, but you literally making that decision too, as well, to make this month a month where you ascend to his holy mountain. And again, like I said, today, because of what Jesus did, you know, you can ascend to that mountain through the Holy Spirit. And so throughout the days of this month, right, and again throughout this week, and throughout the coming weeks, you can continue to dialogue with the Holy Spirit and ask the Holy Spirit again to just purify you through and through, to reveal to you whatever that it is you need to confess about or repent about, and, you know, asking the Holy Spirit to really help you to be more focused on just being nearer to God and being able to be completely attuned to what it is that he is saying in this season, as you are making him first priority like never before in your life. And so I pray that you guys were blessed by this podcast episode. Again, I'm going to go ahead and just put the biblical references down in the description section of this podcast for those of you who want to go deeper during your devotional time to read thoroughly these scriptures. And so I pray that you guys were blessed, and I will definitely be on here as usual next Friday as we continue our theme for this month, ascending to the mountain of the Lord, which is taken from Psalm 24. And remember, all things are possible with Christ Jesus. Until next time, peace out. Take care.